Hey, I talked to you Wednesday night. How many of you are still living by what you heard Wednesday night? Have you tried it? Have you tried it in your own mind to prove it? You know, this is what happens. you know, as long as we're in the world, and when I say the world, I'm talking about living in this place. As long as we have to inhabit it, do you know there's going to be offenses that are going to come? All the time. Because the world does that all the time. The world in you does it. Brings offense all the time. One of the major weapons of the man of sin, okay, is bringing offense. Because offense divides, pulls people apart, brings anger, brings reasoning. Did you ever realize it brings reasoning also? It has to cause you to go into the offense. If you're joining yourself to the man of sin, now remember the man of sin does this. Sometimes we forget the capabilities, but the thing is, he brings lying wonders, so it'll be a wonder to you. You'll see things, the imagery of it, lying wonders. What else does he do? He gives you signs and lying wonders. So you'll see a sign and you say, oh my God. Well, what did the Greeks seek after? A sign. What did those Pharisees seek after? A sign. They want to do something, a sign. So that Pharisaic thought in your mind will do the same thing. But, or you will justify what that man of sin just had you come into in coming into that offense. Okay? So the thing is that he does that in a lot of things. I heard what Seth was taking. You and him had a conversation about all the different things we join ourselves to. Those things are not us. We are not offense. We're not offense. You here, you're not offense. But can you join to it and have it activate in your life? Yes. Oh, all the time. It's one of the biggest things, like I said, that adversary uses. And it can be in little things. It can be a little quick thing. It can even be a look on the face and you know somebody is offended, right? And they don't have to say anything. They just put that little look on their face and you already know. How many ever heard people sigh? Already, you know, that offends me. You know why? Because I know what the sigh means. See where I'm getting with this? Ah. So it's a very important thing for you to understand that the devil uses that. Doesn't it say that the man of sin does all these things after the workings of Satan with all deceivableness of unrighteousness? It says all deceivableness. Any kind of deceit you can think of, he has the ability to use. That's something for you to think about because we get deceived in so many different ways, don't we? So here's the thing. You say, well, there's no way I could possibly know how this is working. Yeah, you can. Remember, in the world you should have tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Who is with you? What anointing is in you from the beginning? What is in you? Is the Son of God in you? Is the Christ in you? Yes. That anointing is in you. So you're never alone. We think we are because we deal with this stuff in the world every day. And we have problems. Sometimes we can't even speak about them. We can't speak about them. We have something going on in our mind, but we'll cry. And we haven't expressed anything. And then people have to ask, what's wrong? What's going on? And then when you tell them, then 9 times out of 10, you can get some help with that, right? You're not under stress all the time. Here's the thing. We're under strife and contention and stress in our own thoughts, in our world. You think about that. Where strife and contention is every, well, why? Who's present? Satan, man of sin. Remember it says, after the workings of Satan. It's still all part of that. So he's sitting in the temple as God. He thinks he is God. He speaks as God in your world. And we have to be aware of that. So, it's a very deceptive thing. The reason I wanted to talk about offense again, see those scriptures up there, Ernest? Could you get the first two for me? And I want Eveline to get the Luke 22:22 and get a thing over there. Read it loud into there too. I want you to read something. I'll see if you catch this as he's reading this. I want to show you something else offense does. So Matthew 26:24.
Matthew 26:24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
Wow. The next one, the Mark 14:21. I'm getting somewhere. Listen to these words quick. Seriously, soberly. There's one word that's repeated in each one of these verses. I want to see if you're going to catch it. Go ahead, Ernest.
Mark 14:21. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
That's telling you some consequence, isn't it? Now, Eveline's going to read the 22:22.
And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed.
Wow. What was the common word? Anybody catch a common word through all of it? Terry? That's one, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Betrayed. Are you getting a better idea of what offense did? What happened to Judas to cause him to do what to Christ? Was there an offense working? Catch what I'm going. Can you crucify Christ too through an offense in you? You say, oh, Judas, I would never be a Judas. What if I told you you've been Judas many times? A truth came forth and you didn't want to accept it. You understand? Because it went against what the man of sin had already brought you to in your thought, in your world. You see how we got comfortable with it. And then something came and rocked our world. I don't know if I want to leave that or not. I'm comfortable with that. You see how this works? God has given us understanding on a lot of things. This word I gave you last Wednesday about this offending, quit joining yourself to offense because that is not you. So it causes all kinds of, it causes division in so many different ways. It can divide husband and wife. I've said this before. It can divide parents and children. It can divide brothers and sisters in the church. Haven't we seen where there was an offense probably in the church and then that person acted different toward the rest of us, or we acted different toward that person because of that offense? You know, that's a funny thing, huh? We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. That should not be. That brings forth a schism in the body of Christ. You see how that works? And people say, well, that's just, think about this. Oh, husband and wife having differences and whatever. Are you a sister in the Lord and a brother in the Lord? Yes. So if that offense causes that split, is there a schism in the body? Oh, so you didn't think it was that important, huh? Because you have your own things that you're trying to justify yourself in. You have your own stuff that you've become comfortable with. You're justifying yourself about how you feel that you're right. And let me tell you another thing that goes along with that, self-righteousness. You think you're right. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I think I'm right in this thing. Well, the Pharisees said the same thing. They were self-righteous. Talking to Jesus, didn't the law of Moses say, didn't this say, what are your disciples doing gathering food on the Sabbath? What is this? Why are they eating with unwashing hands, dirty hands, all this stuff? So did they do it? Did it all the time. And so if there's a Pharisaic thought in you, you'll do it too. But this is what we're trying to do right now. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Holy Ghost is moving now. It's moving in every one of us to certain extents. Some maybe at 5%, some at 50, some at 75, whatever. But it's here. Holy Ghost is here. Don't walk around saying you don't have what God has given you. He already anointed you and put those things in you. Now, are you full of those things? Oh. Are we growing? Are we growing as children? Are we becoming what God wants us to be? This is what God is telling us right now. Holy Ghost has been moving, guys. I don't know if you've seen it and everything. That last thing that Gary did and all those people started calling in on Monday night, that was the Holy Ghost moving. That Monday night meeting after we had the memorial for Rick, and if the Holy Ghost was moving. The time we were sitting out in back of Keith's house and I saw the Holy Ghost move to do some things, it was enthralling. I just sat there and watched it work. And to be a part of that, that was amazing. It was amazing. So that spirit is doing this. Let me give you another warning. Let me give you a warning, an admonishment. So this is the year of the spirit, huh? And so we're already into June, right? So here's what I want you to do. Don't go thinking that we only have 6 more months to get the spirit of what God's going to do. You know what the year of the spirit means? This means that this is you're going to be aware of the Spirit. You're going to, more than ever in your life, you're going to love God, and you want that Spirit to come into you. You want the difference between the world and heaven to be made evident. I am from above, you are from beneath, right? Isn't that what it says? Well, think about this. We're thinking about this earth that's in us. The earth that it talks about, earth that it talks about is a very important thing. That earth within us, think about this. Remember, it says flesh and blood can't enter into heaven, right? Can't, right? Where do you think that's at? You think he's talking about this flesh and blood? No, he's talking about in that earth that's in you. That's where Jesus walked. That's where the apostles walked. That's where all that sin happened. That's where Judas betrayed Jesus. That's where the cross happened. That's all within that earth within you. And in that earth in you, some things have happened that have caused things to go bad, defiled. We know who did that, right? Darkness came and all of that. Betrayal. Can a brother betray another brother? Can parents betray children? Can children betray parents? Go back and look in the Word. It actually says it. So there's a betrayal that happens there. Woe unto the man by whom that offense comes. Talking about the man of sin in them. But if you join yourself to them, then it's going to be a woe to you too. Don't do that. Let's start recognizing when offense is coming. Let's start recognizing when there's hatred working. Let's start recognizing when there's condemnation working, anger, whatever, jealousy, whatever it may be. Let's start recognizing that and pulling ourselves back from joining that spirit. Because you can feel these things coming on. You definitely can. I know I can. You feel this stuff coming on. And like I said, even from a look sometimes, you get a look, oh, I feel it coming. I'm not going to join myself to that offended spirit, which is the man of sin. He's constantly trying to divide you. Now, the reason I talked so much about offense last week is because I've seen it. I've seen it and I've heard it. So this is the thing that's important. Among the church, among those that are the believers in Christ, let's get to the point where we start recognizing that thing. And I'm not talking about recognizing it and like you being a person just here, oh, I recognize that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is yielding yourself to the Spirit so it can help you recognize that and then overcome it. You're not going to overcome it as this person walking around here. You're not going to overcome. This is a spirit we're talking about. It's a spirit that joins itself to you, and you're not going to overcome a spirit by just being yourself here. What are you going to need? You're going to need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ has to be working in you. So what should we be praying? Oh, yeah, let it work, Lord. Let me be obedient to it. Let it work. At the very hour that this thing comes on me, the Spirit tries to use me, let me catch it. Bring your Spirit to touch me. Help me to understand this is what's going on. Bring forth an understanding. Our imagination has to change. Our imagination imagines all kinds of evil things, and all you got to do is think about your imagination. You'll see that it thinks a lot of evil things. All of us have gone through that. I'm not up here like a paragon of virtue telling you did that and I didn't. But you know what? Still, those things come to my mind, but here's the thing. When they come to my mind, what do you think I do about it? Yeah. They still come. And Dan said something this morning I thought was very appropriate. You got to prove those things, don't you? A lot of us Antichrist thought. Anything that opposes God, but you got to prove those things. Doesn't mean you go into it and do it. It means you see it and, oh, I see what that is, whatever, and then prove it. See if it doesn't turn out bad like God says it's going to turn if you yield to it. You don't have to yield to everything, do you? But can you see it working? Didn't they see that devil working in that boy that the father brought him to Jesus? They could see all of that, right? Did they have to partake of it? No, no. They could see it, though, couldn't they? Seven sons of Sceva. They thought they can do. And they saw how Paul worked and all that, and they said, wow, man, we're going to try and do the same thing. That devil jumped out of that man and whipped him naked and had him run away naked. Seven men couldn't withstand that one devil. You know why? Didn't know God. Didn't have the Spirit of God. But we are those that are his children. He is our Father. We have the Spirit of our Father in us. We have to recognize that it's there and allow it to work. And this is one of the major ones. There's a whole bunch of other ones, but this one is a great divider. You know how we say, Pride is a big thing. It has many branches and all of that. Same thing. Many. How many different ways can you be offended? Oh, put a few thousand in there. How many ways? A word, a thought, a look. Can jealousy work there? Can envy work there too? Oh, of course. Every evil work. So this is a big one. This is a big one. So what I'm trying to get across to you is that we have to start somewhere in our thinking. Let our imagination become the imagination of God and not our evil imagination. You all know what I'm talking about. We can sit and think evil pretty quickly and make up a whole scenario and have all kinds of images there, right? I remember one time there was a guy that took his truck and hollered at me and cut me off and screamed one of those epithets at me, you know, something he shouldn't have said, particularly about me and how I look. And I didn't even think. I slammed on the brakes, shoved my truck back in reverse. I didn't know if there was traffic behind me. I was so angry. And I could imagine myself running this guy down, pulling him out of the window of his truck, and beating him against his own truck. That's what was in my imagination. And then a little voice came to me as I was chasing him through traffic. A little voice came to me and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I thought about it. I said, "You..." This was years and years ago, but I can see the headlines now. Pastor beats up man outside a truck. whatever, years ago. But, you know, so did I get offended real quick? Did I get angry real quick? Oh, my God, I heard that word, and I said, "You are not going to call me that." And I shoved my truck, and there was three guys in that car. Didn't make any difference to me. I was going to pull the driver out because he's the one that did the big mouth stuff. And was going to take care of him. But that's the way it goes. It's a powerful thing to get offended. It can lead you to murder. My wife and I were watching a thing on TV the other night about a man that got so angry at the situation that happened with his wife, divorce, kids, and all that stuff. So he went to the house, killed all of his kids, killed his wife, and killed himself. Where did it all start from? Started from an offense, drawing himself to that. It'd be better off. I'm going to get my way, and nobody's going to judge me for it because I'll kill myself. Wow. Wow. People are acting crazy now, and you hear it all the time, don't you? You hear about these shootings all the time. And I hate to use worldly examples, but where do you think their minds are going to? Somebody offended me, so I'm going to go back to school and kill everybody. Somebody bullied me, I'm going to go back and do this. I'm talking about you getting your mind back to understanding we're dealing with spirits. Spirits, 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 spirits. And the biggest one is that man of sin, all deceivableness of unrighteousness, lying wonders. You see signs, all kinds of things. And you see that in your imagination is where you see it. And then you act on it. I'm really telling you guys, I want you to start paying attention to offense every time. And remember, you're not the offense. You're not offended. It is the man of sin. I want to drive that home to you. I'm going to talk some more about this. But then you can get to the point where you betray the things Christ has given you. You will actually betray it. How do we know? Judas did. Do you have a better idea of what Judas was going through? Now he had an offense toward Christ and was willing to betray him. We saw three different scriptures that said it. Through offense. And then he betrayed the Lord Jesus. Think about it. Think about it real hard. Can you betray the word of God and the spirit of God that's in you? Because he put it in you, didn't he? Do you want to betray that or do you want to go along with it? Go along with that spirit God's put in you. You don't want to betray it in any way. You don't want to go back on it. You don't want to cross it. You don't want to leave it behind. You want it to lead and guide you all the way through. Isn't that true, Jacob? All the way through. So I want you to think hard about offense because it's a big thing that's working among us and we need to stop it. Does that make sense? We need to stop that. Are we getting better online? Do you understand what we're saying? Could you hear what we were saying? Very important thing. We're dealing with spirits. That's all I have today, guys. If you want to talk to me afterwards, give me a call. Talk to me after service, whatever. If there's something, a question you have, whatever, you go on and give it to me, and we'll talk about it. I've seen so many different things being manifested, and we don't want those things to manifest. We want to have the imagination of God and not the imagination of the flesh. Does that make sense? Very good thing. Any questions? A comment?
It's not a question. You were talking about...
There's a mic coming to you.
You were talking about Satan sitting in the temple as God. The only way that he can sit there is you've joined yourself to a thought.
For sure.
And he's on your throne now. But you can dethrone him.
Yes.
By not taking that thought, not joining yourself to the thought that comes to you to say, I'm offended, I don't like this, I don't like you, or you caused this to happen. If you don't agree with that or go into that, he can't sit on your throne. Believe God and go the other way, and he won't sit on your throne. God will sit on your throne.
Doesn't God call us kings? What are we letting somebody else be a king on our throne for? And an evil spirit at that. Why are we allowing that? Do we have the power to take care of that through Christ? Don't let him sit on your throne. You're a king. You have the authority, not him. But if you join yourself to him, he'll have a lot of authority because you allow him to have it. Does that make sense? Good stuff. Go ahead, Seth.
Is that another reason why they talk about when they say, that person was possessed with devils, is because they have received or believed in the offense? And the other question was, once you take on the offense because you believe it and you go into that offense, is that offense connected to other other things?
Other spirits.
Other spirits.
It definitely is. It's connected. Look at, it wasn't just one thing that Judas did. He betrayed, he lied, he took money. You know, the whole deal, right? What do we call that when somebody takes money, like a bribe, huh, or whatever? So all of those things, start thinking about what he did. Then he led the people to where Jesus was at, kissed them, so there's a betrayal again, hypocrisy, all of that. He didn't do just one thing. Look at how it took him step by step by step to the betrayal. And then when he realized what he had done, how the magnitude of it, tried to give the money back. That didn't work. And they didn't even want to take it back. Say, yeah, you're a betrayer. We don't even want to take the money back that we gave you as a betrayer. We went and threw it out there and made a potter's field for people that couldn't afford to be buried. A place of the dead. Right? That's what they used it for. And then he went out and did what? He repented of himself, huh? Instead of going to Christ. We think we can handle everything. We can't, guys. There's nothing in this flesh that can handle that. This is all spiritual. Does that make sense? That is all spiritual.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It does. That's how he was,
kinda,
Christ was betrayed.
Kind of blows your mind because you really don't understand. Obviously, you don't if you received it. What all those things are connected to,
interconnected.
Spirits they're connected to, because you could think, oh, it's just offense, but like you were saying earlier, it could lead to murder. It could lead to so many other things that it could lead to. So it's just amazing how it could go that far if you fully believe it and go into it.
If you fully join yourself to it. Do you think pride works in offense? Holy Toledo. That's one of the prime movers. So, see, we got two things working then, huh? Pride leads you into the offense. Why'd they do that to me? Why'd they say that to me? Okay, pride's up. You get it? So what else goes on? Oh, is there jealousy? Is there envy? Is there hypocrisy working? Is there lying wonders working? Is there deceit working? Is seduction working? You see what I'm saying? All of that is about, but you took the step. All you had to do was take the step into the one, and you just opened the doors for all the others to come. That's all you did. Think about Judas. That's what he did.
Also, I remember the elders saying, we have too many doors open.
Yes.
For the enemy to come in. Those are doors that are still left open because you're still joined yourself to the enemy, the man of sin. So the minute you choose God or you believe God for it and don't be pulled into it, you're shutting that door to where he can no longer get you in that area of whatever it is, whatever the situation is. He can't get you any longer because you're not choosing him anymore. You're not joining yourself to him. And it goes back to the garden also. When Eve believed the lie that was told to her by Satan or the man of sin, and she believed that. So now he's sitting on her throne, and he has to be dethroned. So now everybody here has to dethrone Satan, because when you agree with him, he's on your throne.
For sure.